This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Last week when we ended the program, I promised to inshallah begin the tafsir of the 30th juz of the Quran this week. Last week I had said that we are going to look at Surah Naba first. But from some calls from some of the listeners, they requested that I start with the short surahs first, as that is what everybody has memorized and what everybody recites in their salah. So inshallah, due to the request from our audience and our listeners, I will be starting today with Surah Falaq and Surah Nas, inshallah, and slowly from there, every Wednesday, we'll be doing tafsir of one or two short surahs from the back of the Quran, inshallah, so that our salah can become more meaningful and we can understand the surahs which we recite in our salah better. So today, inshallah, I'm going to look at the tafsir of Surah Falaq. If we have time to complete it, inshallah, the tafsir of Surah Nas as well. And these are very, very powerful surahs. We know this because there are many hadiths narrated about them. For example, you will find that when it comes to the names of the surahs, most of the names of the surahs were decided later on by Sahaba or by scholars in later generations. There weren't that many surahs which were given names by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. But these two surahs were given a name by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would refer to Surah Falaq and Surah Nas as Al-Mu'awwazatain. Al-Mu'awwazatain, which means the two protectors. So from that name you can immediately see that there's something important and special about these two surahs, as they are meant to be a means of protection for us. So a good place to start with the tafsir of Surah Falaq and Nas is to look at the reason for revelation, the background of these surahs. I mentioned 2 weeks ago about the importance of reasons for revelation. They give you the context in which a surah was revealed, and they help you to understand the surah better. So with Surah Falaq and Surah Nas, there is a story narrated in Sahih al-Muslim about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was in Medina, and one of the Jews had tried to put a spell, to do sihr on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Due to Allah's divine protection, the sihr did not affect him in the deen, but in some of his worldly responsibilities, he began to forget things. And he realized that he's forgetting things which he doesn't usually forget, so he knew something was wrong, something was different. That is when two angels came to him, and one angel told the other about the sihr and where the Jew had done the sihr, where he had done the magic. And then they had recited to him Surah Falaq and Surah Nas, and instructed him that these two surahs should be recited to get rid of the magic. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had done so. The story is much longer. You can read the full narration in Sahih Muslim. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went ahead and he recited Surah Falaq and Surah Nas, and the magic was removed and he was cured, alhamdulillah. So right from the beginning, we can see that these surahs were revealed for protection from magic. And that is a very, very important point, because very often, you know, we always looking for solutions everywhere else. But the solution, as we always say, is in the Quran. If we want protection, Allah has revealed Al-Mu'awwazatain, the two protectors for us, Surah Falaq and Surah Nas. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has instructed us that every morning after Fajr and every evening we should recite Surah Falaq and Surah Nas along with Surah Ikhlas, Qul Huwallahu Ahad. We should recite these three surahs 3 times each and blow over ourselves, blow into our hands and wipe it over ourselves, and blow over our children for protection. So what do these surahs protect us from? Well, as we look at the tafsir of each verse, we will see in details what they are protection of. I know I did go very briefly through the tafsir of the surahs a few weeks ago, where I spent 5 or 10 minutes on each surah. Inshallah, now I want to spend 1 hour on each surah, so that we can get a detailed understanding of exactly what these surahs are about. Yes, Surah Falaq just seems like 5 short lines, but these 5 short lines are full of deep meanings. They answer some of the philosophical problems of today, and they teach us some very, very important issues when it comes to our faith and when it comes to our tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Surah Falaq Some of the scholars have said that it was revealed in Makkah, but the correct opinion is that is that it was revealed in Medina. Why? Due to the story that we just narrated in Sahih Muslim about Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Medina, that the angels brought him Surah Falaq and Surah Nas. So that story is very clear and explicit that it was revealed in Medina. So that would be the stronger opinion for Surah Falaq and Surah Nas, that they were revealed in Medina, and Allah knows best. So just to recap what we have said so far, the reason for revelation, Surah Falaq was revealed when a Jew tried to put sihr and magic on Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as a means of protection for him. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us that these two surahs are called the two protectors, and they should be recited every morning and evening, and we should blow on ourselves to protect ourselves from all forms of evil. And Rasulullah Sallam had given it a name, and were always attained the two protectors, and it was revealed in Medina. So that is the basic background information of what these, where these surahs were revealed, why they were revealed, and what was the purpose of these two surahs. Now, there is a controversy started by some non-Muslims who have stated that Surah Falaq and Surah Nas shouldn't be in the Quran. And the reason they say this is that if you were to look at Abdullah ibn Mas'ud's copy of the Quran, which he had with him, he did not have Surah Falaq and Surah Nas in it. And that's true, he did not have it in his copy of the Quran, but he used to recite it, and he used to recite it in the Salah. And the scholars have said the only reason it was not in his copy of the Quran was that he had memorized it so well, he did not need to write it down. I mean, Surah Fatiha was also not in his copy of the Quran, because we all know Surah Fatiha so well that he did not feel the need to write it down. So really, you know, that's just trying to twist historical facts out of their place. Reality is that Ibn Mas'ud used to recite these salahs in the recite the surahs in the salah, showing that he knew they were part of the Quran. He just did not write it down because he had memorized it so well. So we should be very careful of these arguments against Islam when they arise, and we should look at them carefully, because usually they seem to be a distortion of historical facts. Now, Surah Falaq, let's very quickly go through the translation, and then inshallah we will tackle each verse one at a time and do a detailed tafsir. Surah Falaq begins, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. Say, I seek protection in the Lord of the Dawn. مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقْ. From the evil of that which he has created. وَمِنْ شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَبْ. And from the evil of the totally dark night when it comes. وَمِنْ شَرْنِ النَّفَّاسَاتِ فِي الْأُقَدْ. And the evil from of those magicians who blow on knots. وَمِنْ شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدْ. And from the evil of jealous people when they are jealous of us. So, just from the translation itself, you can see that this is definitely a surah of protection. It is a surah of protection from a variety of things. From شَرِّ مَا خَلَقْ. From the evil of anything that Allah has created. Any creature out there capable of doing evil, we are seeking protection from the evil. From the evil of the utterly dark night, we are going to do a detailed look of what is meant by the utterly dark night. وَمِنْ شَرِّ النَّفَّاسَاتِ فِي الْأُقَدْ. From the evil of magic and sihr and jinn, all things which are of the unseen nature but affect people. And from the evil of jealous people when they are jealous of us. This is for protection from jealous people, their harmful attitudes and the harmful things they try to do, and even for protection from the evil eye. And we again will discuss this in details when we get to that verse. So Surah Falaq is a surah of protection. And it begins with the word A'uzu, I seek protection. But before that, Surah Falaq begins with the word Qul, say. Now, the word Qul is directed firstly at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and then at each and every one of us. It is a command. It is from the Arabic verb qala, he said. Qul is in the command form, say. So this is a command from Allah that we should say this dua. We should seek protection in him from these things. And the Quran is word for word the word of Allah. Therefore the word qul is in it. You know, if it was just a dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made, it would have began with a'uzu billah. A'uzu bi Rabbil Falaq. But being word for word with the word of Allah, as he had revealed it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, without any changes at all, the word qul is there. And so this is a sign of how the Quran was preserved word for word. So the word qul is a command that we must make this dua. We must seek protection in Allah from these things. The word a'uzu, I seek protection. we use this word every day as part of a different dua. The dua, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitani Rajim. I seek protection in Allah from the cursed devil, from the Satan. A'udhu means that you seek divine protection from in Allah from something else. And we are told to recite A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitani Rajim on a variety of occasions. We should make this dua before reciting the Quran, so that Shaitan does not distract us from reading the Quran, nor does Shaitan give us a misunderstanding and misinterpretation of the Quran. And we should seek protection from Shaitan at a variety of other times as well. Inshallah, we will tackle those after the break. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This week, alhamdulillah, we are looking at the tafsir of Surah Falaq, the second last chapter of the Quran, chapter 113, a very commonly recited surah. We are actually supposed to recite the surah every morning and evening, 3 times each, for protection. For protection from a variety of things. For protection from jealousy. For protection from the evil eye. For the protection of magic, of our magic and jinn. And from the protection of any kind of evil which exists in this world. So this is a very, very important and vital surah for us. For us to understand it, for us to put it into place and to practice its teachings. Because this surah teaches us about what evils exist in the world, and it gives us the understanding that Allah is the one who can protect us from it. And that is what we were discussing before we went for the break. The words A'uzu, I seek protection. We said that we use these words a variety of times in the Quran, or in our daily life. We also use these words, for example, in the dua, A'uzu billahi minash shaitani rajim, which has said we make the dua, I seek protection in Allah from the accursed devil. We make the dua before reciting the Quran. We are also supposed to make the dua when we are angry, because it is the shaitan who makes us react in our anger and say things which we shouldn't say. So when angry, instead of opening our mouths and blurting out things that we'll regret later on, we rather just say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim, and stay quiet. That is the sunnah way of dealing with anger. Yes, people do get angry. It is natural to get angry. But how you express that anger, we are held accountable for. And so one of the solutions is to seek protection in Allah from the devil and the things that he makes us say and do in the state of anger. And likewise, we have other du'as with the word A'uzu, the famous du'a that the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make for his grandsons. A'uzu bi kalimatillahi tamati min sharri ma khalaq. I seek protection in the complete word of Allah, meaning the Quran, from the evil that he has created. Seek protection in the complete word of Allah from the evil which he has created. So we see that the seeking protection in Allah is an important part of our deen. But what does this mean? What does it mean to seek protection in Allah? And how should it affect us and our character? Seeking protection in Allah, number one, it means that we need to believe that Allah alone is the one who can protect us. If we believe that there are any other forces or beings out there that we can make dua to, that we can pray to, who will protect us, then we have a problem. This is not from the teachings of the Quran and Sunnah. So we need to firstly believe that it is Allah who is our protector. Allah controls everything in this universe. Allah controls everything in this universe. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who allows things to happen. And he is the one who will protect you from things. There is a concept in Islam which you have to believe in about the protection angels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us all angels who protect us from the calamities of this world, except when Allah wills. Meaning that sometimes you might notice that you came close to having an accident and suddenly you managed to escape and you don't know how. The angels were protecting you. On another day, the accident actually happened. That was Allah's will. So Allah is the one who's protecting us. He's giving us these angels to protect us. And when Allah wills, the angels go away and there's nothing left to protect us. So who should we seek protection in? In Allah. And ask Allah to always keep the angels there with us, to protect us at all times. And the closer we are to Allah, the higher our level of taqwa, the higher our level of spirituality, the closer we are to becoming friends with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more protection we will have from Him. So we really need to work on developing a close relationship with Allah. It is not going to work if we ask Allah to protect us in the mornings and evenings, but we don't even pray our 5 daily salah, then we don't have any connection with Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, remember me, I will remember you. So if we want Allah to remember us and to protect us, we need to remember Allah at the prescribed times and to pray 5 times a day. So this is a very, very important issue about protection, that we need to believe Allah alone can protect us, and we need to make it our duty to get closer to Allah and to earn His protection. Now, once you have earned the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you believe in it and you are doing whatever you can to make it a part of your life, then this creates certain attitudes in you. It creates a certain character in you. One of the things it creates in you is the concept of tawakkul, putting your trust in Allah. Because now when things go wrong, you understand that this is Allah's work. And the dua to make when things go wrong is to say, Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. That Allah should be praised, or we praise Allah, whatever the condition is. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who allows good to happen to us, and He allows things which don't seem good to happen to us. And we are going to discuss this concept in more details in the second verse, about why things happen to us that seem to be bad. But nonetheless, if you are seeking protection in Allah, then you will not believe that anything that happens to you is bad for you. So you will have complete tawakkul in Allah. And the correct definition of tawakkul is to make your best effort, and then when it comes to that which is beyond your control, you leave your trust in Allah. Allah will give you what is best. So for example, if you are running a business, you will make your best possible effort to make sure your business is halal, it is ethical and moral, it is legal, and that it is done to the best of your ability to earn a profit. Then the actual earning of a profit, you leave that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who provides risk. You have done your effort, now Allah will give you what Allah wants to give you or what is best for you. Sometimes having a lot of wealth is not good for us. Sometimes it is. Allah gives us accordingly, and we need to have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, if we are planning a project, we have to do whatever we can to plan the project, to make sure people are on time, to make sure everything is done properly. But at the end of the day, for the project to be successful, there are elements which are outside our control, and for that we put our tawakkul in Allah. So with tawakkul comes peace of mind. And we know this from the Quran, Allah bi dhikrillahi tatma'innu al-qulub, that it is only those who remember Allah, it's only when you are remembering Allah that you feel tatma'innu in your heart, you feel peace in your heart, contentment in your heart. And this peace of mind is something that every human wants. Because the world we live in today is a world that creates a lot of anxiety for us. If you look at the psychological problems in the world today, the two most common psychological problems are depression and anxiety. And in one dua that Rasulullah ﷺ used to make every day, he used to start off with, أعوذ بالله من الهم والغم. I seek protection in Allah from depression and anxiety. Depression is when people are thinking about the past too much, and they become depressed on what happened in the past. And anxiety is when people are worried about the future too much, and they become worried and scared, and they become miserable because of worrying about the future. Islam teaches us to focus on the present. What is in the past, if we made a mistake, we make tawbah, we repent, we move on. What is in the future, we put our tawakkul in Allah, and we move on. So when you have this tawakkul in Allah, it removes anxiety. The modern world is the opposite. The modern world, where all the commercials we see, creates anxiety. That what if you become poor tomorrow? What if you lose your house? What will people say if you don't have this type of car? What will people say if you don't have this type of house? So we become anxious that we want to succeed materialistically. And if we are successful, we want to do even better. And then we are worried about losing our wealth, and we are worried about what will happen to us the next day. But we find with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba, he never had this. They lived day to day. And one of the most amazing and beautiful things about our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that he never kept any savings. He would use whatever wealth he had up within the day and give the rest off to charity, because he knew Allah would provide for him every day. That is an extremely high level of tawakkul, which I don't know if we are able to reach. May Allah help us. But that just shows you how the people of the past were when it came to tawakkul. And it shows you the peace of mind. That if you want to escape the anxiety of the world, if you want to escape anxiety and depression that comes with materialism and this modern lifestyle, then turn to Allah. Accept Allah as your Lord. Accept Allah as the one who you put your trust in. Trust in His plan. And you'll find that no matter which way your life goes, you'll be at peace. That is why you will find that you will find Muslims who are in prison unjustly, but they have peace of mind. And they are worshipping Allah every day. And they are doing dawah in the prison because they know that Allah has chosen what is best for them. So much so that if you read the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, Yusuf alayhi salam actually made dua to Allah when the woman tried to seduce him. He said, "Oh Allah, the prison is more beloved to me than what they are calling me to." Meaning he'd rather be in prison than get involved in fornication. You know, so this shows the level of iman which a person can reach. And it really shows the tawakkul that a person can have in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So tawakkul leads to peace of mind. And these two together also lead to acceptance of qadr, accepting your fate. Whatever happens in life, you accept that it is for the best. Allah knows best. Allah knows what is best for us. And there are many, many stories in the Quran and Sunnah about this. If we read, for example, Surah Kaf. Surah Kaf has a very long and detailed story about when Musa alayhi salam met Khizr, which really goes into the details about the importance of accepting qadr. Inshallah, we'll continue discussing this topic after the break. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This week, alhamdulillah, we are looking at the tafsir of Surah Falaq, the 113th chapter of the Quran. And we are still in the first verse, even though we've been here for half an hour, alhamdulillah. That's just how deep the surah is, that we can spend a full 1 hour on each verse. But inshallah, we'll try to at least complete the first two verses today. We are talking about Surah Falaq being a surah of protection. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referred to it, and Surah Nas is al-mu'awwazatain, the two protectors. And he told us to recite it every morning and evening and to blow on ourselves and our children for protection. And we are talking about what is the implications of seeking protection in Allah in our lives. That it creates tawakkul, it creates peace of mind, and it helps us to accept qadr, to accept our fate. That whatever happens in this life happens for the best. So we say, "Kul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq." I seek protection in the Lord of the dawn. The word Rabb, Lord, is a very, very powerful word. That an entire branch of Tawheed is taken from this word. If you look at Tawheed, oneness of Allah, one of the branches of Tawheed is called Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. Allah's oneness in His Lordship. That Allah is the only Lord and Creator of this world. This category is taken from the word Rabb, Lord. That Allah constantly in the Quran refers to Himself as Rabbul Alameen, Rabbul Falaq, Rabbul Nas. Many other times Allah refers to Himself as the Rabb. Now the word Rabb, we constantly or we usually translate it as the Lord. But the meaning is much deeper. The word Rabb means that Allah is our Creator, our Sustainer, our Maintainer, and the Controller. And so when you say Allah is the Rabb of the universe, it means Allah controls the universe, He maintains the universe, and nothing can happen outside of His world. So this is a very, very powerful word with deep implications. When we say that Allah is our Rabb, then we are accepting that nothing happens except with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so if we want protection from anything again, who do we turn to? We turn to our Rabb. And we seek protection in Allah in the ways which He has revealed to us in the Quran and Sunnah. So Allah is the Rabb of the world. Now in this surah, Allah calls Himself Rabbul Falaq, the Lord of the dawn. Why the dawn particularly? Well, there's a lot of debate among the scholars as to why the dawn is mentioned here specifically. Some have said because this is the end of the night. And most evil, magic, jinn work, these sort of things take place at night. So the dawn is a sign of hope that the night is over and inshallah better things will happen. So that is one of the reasons given. Allah knows best. But there are many other opinions found in the books of Tafsir as to why specifically the dawn. Now, the next verse is very interesting. The second verse of Surah Falaq is one of my favorite verses in the Quran. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Min sharri ma khalaq," from the evil of that which Allah has created. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse, on one hand, He is teaching us to seek His protection from evil. On the other hand, He is answering a question which gets asked a lot in the modern world, which a lot of people ask today. And that is, if God is good, where did evil come from? And Allah tells us in this verse that evil comes from the creation of Allah. Allah created us with the ability to do good or evil. When evil happens, it is our choice. Yes, Allah has given us the ability to do it. He has allowed us to do it because nothing happened without the will of Allah. But we will be held accountable for it. And from here we understand that everything in this world is created by Allah, whether we perceive it to be good or evil. And those things which we perceive to be evil are of two types. Either they are the actions of humans, which sometimes can be pure evil, because the actions of humans are our own choices. Or there are things around us which seem to be evil. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created them, and Allah has created them with a purpose. And so many of the things which we perceive to be evil could be good for us. Right? For example, let's look at death. For many people who do not believe in God, or who are not strong in the iman, death is looked upon as something evil, as something bad. When somebody dies, then we get scared. We get, terrified that this is something bad that's happened to us. But in Islam, if somebody died a believer, or more so, if somebody died, for example, by drowning, or through a disease in their stomach, or through any form of pain, and they died a believer, then they go directly to paradise. And they spend the rest of eternity in paradise. So how is that evil? How is that bad? That's not bad, that's good. So it's perceived to be bad, but it's actually good for us. And this should be our understanding of everything in this universe which we think is evil. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not create anything without a purpose. Everything has wisdom. Even shaitan, even the existence of shaitan is there for a good reason. To test us. Shaitan exists to test us. Shaitan exists without to separate those of us who are true believers from those who are not. So he's there for a purpose. He's not just there for the sake of being there. You know, so there's nothing which exists which is pure evil. And before the break, I mentioned that in Surah Kaf, the story of Musa and Khizr explains this in detail. In the story of Musa and Khizr, which we all should be familiar with, because we recite the surah every Friday, inshallah, and hopefully we're reciting with understanding. So we should be familiar that there's a story there about when Musa alayhi salam and Yusha alayhi salam, they went to meet Khidr alayhi salam. So this was the meeting of prophets. Because Allah had told Musa alayhi salam that Khidr has some knowledge that Musa did not have. And Musa alayhi salam, being such a righteous man, wanted to know what his knowledge was. So they accompanied Khidr on this journey. And Khidr did a few things which Musa alayhi salam could not understand. He did three things. One was that they got a lift from some poor people on the ship, and then Khidr damaged the ship. So Musa got angry with him, alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam got angry with him. Then, after that, Khidr alayhi salam saw one small boy, a young man, and he killed him. And again, Musa alayhi salam got very angry. And the third time was that they went to a town where everybody treated them badly, and then Khidr fixed one of their walls for free. So Musa alayhi salam could not understand what Khidr was doing. But Khidr alayhi salam, who was also a prophet of Allah, he was doing all of this based on revelation. And he explained to Musa alayhi salam why he did this. He said that there was a king coming to seize all ships. So I broke the ship so he wouldn't take it. So while they are repairing the ship, the king will go past them and the ship will be saved. As for the boy, Allah had revealed that he was going to grow up to cause misery to his parents, and to make his parents' life miserable. And his parents are righteous. So Allah wanted to protect his parents from his evil. So Allah willed that his life end now, and Allah will replace him with a better child. And as for the wall, behind the wall was a treasure that belonged to two poor orphans in the city whose father was pious. If the wall fell down now, the people would have stolen the treasure. So I fixed it so that when they are old enough and strong enough, they can take it themselves. So these stories are very powerful, because they show us that all those things that happen in our life which look bad, which look like something evil, you know, there's good behind it. I mean, look at the story of the ship. You know, these people in their ship, they found it broken and they probably feel something bad had happened to them, but it saved them from having their ship completely stolen. Maybe the same thing happens to us. Your tire got punctured. Your car's not starting. Could have saved you from an accident. Could have saved you from being hijacked. Exact same story. One's with the ship, one's with the car. So, you know, we should look at it from this perspective. Death in the family. Sometimes Allah takes the life of someone so that you only have the good memories of them. If Allah knows they might, you know, if Allah let them live longer, something bad might happen. I mean, if you look at this child that Hidr took the life of, he was a small child. And his parents will always remember him as a good child. But if he grew up and he became the misery to them, that would have been even more painful to them. So the things in our life which seem most painful, which seem most evil, are actually good for us. And everybody who looks into their life can see this. If you think back into your past, you will realize that those things which happened to you, which you were thinking at the time, why me? If it wasn't for those things, you wouldn't be who you are today. Think about that. If it wasn't for those events, you wouldn't be who you are today. Those events made you stronger. Those events made you wiser. Those events taught you important lessons in life. Those events helped you choose which direction you are heading in your life. So this is the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why as believers, we do not believe that pure evil exists. We say that this is the evil of what Allah has created. Allah has created things which are good, and there are sometimes aspects of it which seem evil, and sometimes there are choices we make which are evil. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is good, and He has created all things with wisdom and with purpose. And so this is the most important lesson for us to take from this verse of Surah Falaq. Inshallah, after the break, we will continue with the next verse. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We were looking today, alhamdulillah, at the tafsir of Surah Falaq. Alhamdulillah, we have spent the past 45 minutes looking at the tafsir of Surah Falaq, which is the 113th surah of the Quran. We are looking at the surah because it's a surah which we should be reciting every day. So let's just do a recap of what we have covered today, inshallah. We began by talking about the reason for the revelation of the surah. That Surah Falaq was revealed for protection from magic and the evil eye. And also that this surah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has referred to it as Al-Mu'awwazatain, the two protection surah, Surah Falaq and Surah Nas. And he had commanded us and told us, or rather recommended to us, to recite Surah Falaq and Surah Nas every morning and evening for protection, right? And then we went into detail to discuss the concept of protection in Islam, the importance of seeking protection in Allah alone. That Allah is our Rabb, the one who controls everything in this universe, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone has the power to protect us. We spoke about the angels of protection. Each of us have angels of protection in front of us and behind us that protect us from all evil by the will of Allah, except when Allah wills it. And we need to seek protection in Allah to keep that protection going at all times. And we spoke about the benefits of this seeking protection in Allah and accepting Allah as our Rabb. That this creates a concept of tawakkul in us. That we begin to put our tawakkul in Allah. And we begin to accept that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone knows what's best for us. So with this tawakkul and this trust in Allah comes a peace of heart, a contentment, that whatever happens in life happens for the best. And Allah knows what's best for us. And so we don't live our life with depression or anxiety. We're not harping over the past, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us that whatever has hit you was not meant to miss you. And whatever has missed you was never meant to hit you. So we don't harp over the past. We know whatever happened was definitely going to happen. So we can go back and say, I was so stupid, I made such a silly decision, etc., etc. End of the day, yes, we learn from our mistakes, but you learn from the mistake and you move on with life. You don't sit and get depressed about what happened in the past. At the same time, we don't worry about the future. What will happen in the future? You know, what will happen in 10 years' time, 20 years' time? We plan for the future. But we say, inshallah, if Allah wills. And we accept that Allah knows what is best for us. So if things go according to plan, alhamdulillah, Allah has helped us. If things don't go according to plan, alhamdulillah, Allah has allowed to happen to us that which is better for us. Because we don't always know what is best for us. Maybe we wanted to be a millionaire by a certain age. Maybe being a millionaire at that age would have been bad for us. Maybe it would have caused us to go astray. Allah knows best. So Allah allows what happens to us to be what's best for us. Perhaps you wanted to get married at a certain age, and it never happened. Allah knows what's best for you. Maybe He has some other plans for you. There are many, many things which happen in our life and we ask ourselves, why me? Oh, I'm worried about this, I'm worried about that. When's this going to happen? When's that going to happen? When am I going to get married? When am I going to get rich? When am I going to have children? Don't worry. You do what is in your ability. You do what you have the capabilities to do. After that, you put the tawakkul in Allah and you accept that Allah knows what is best for me. And we see this even in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the issue of children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that He gives sons to who He wills, and He gives daughters to who He wills, and He gives both to who He wills, and He gives none to who He wills, and Allah knows best. Allah knows what is best for you. So we, the believers, we need to accept this. You know, I mean, subhanAllah, nowadays you find so much complaining going on. People who have sons complain they don't have daughters. People who have daughters complain they don't have sons. People who don't have sons or daughters complaining, you know, that they don't have children. And people who have both complaining that their children give them a hard time, they wish they never had children. Don't complain. Don't complain about Allah's Qadr. Accept Allah does not give you except what that you can handle. If Allah has given you a child, it's because you have the ability to raise that child well. If Allah has given you 5 children, it's because you have the ability to raise those 5 children well. If Allah has not given you any children, it's because He wants you to have more time to do other things. Like Aisha radiallahu anha. Aisha radiallahu anha really wanted to have children. She was the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she was the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she was a bit jealous of Khadija radiallahu anha, who was the mother of all of Rasulullah's children. She wanted to have children as well, because this is a woman's nature. Women want to be mothers. Women want to be mothers, right? And so she always wanted to have children. And she gave herself the title Umme Abdullah, mother of Abdullah, even though she didn't have children. It was Allah's will that Aisha radiallahu anha would spend her entire life without having children. And what happened? She became the greatest scholar, female scholar of this ummah. She became the scholar of hadith, the scholar of tafsir, a scholar of fiqh, and a scholar of Arabic, of medicine, of poetry, so many different fields. And Allah knew what He best for. Perhaps if she had children, she would not have had time. She would not have had time to do this. She would not have had, time to get involved in this much Islamic work. So Allah knew what was best for. So we take a lesson from the life of Aisha radiallahu anha, that whatever situation we're in, Allah knows best. And this is so important for us to accept our Qadr. Accepting Qadr will help you get over depression. Somebody who has accepted that whatever has happened was meant to happen, whatever has not happened was never meant to happen, then, if this is what we accept, then we will not be getting depressed about the past. Because we know that that's it, that's what was meant to happen. Things would never have gone differently. And, at the same time, we also wouldn't worry about the future. Why? Because we know that whatever is going to happen, if we do our best, whatever happens is because Allah knew it was best for us. Whatever does not happen in the future is because Allah knows that is what's not good for us. So we just work hard and then we put our tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the concept of tawakkul and accepting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives. And then we said this creates peace of mind and acceptance of qadr, of fate. Finally, we spoke about the concept of evil. Why do evil things exist? And we said that this world, there's nothing in this world which is 100% pure evil. There's nothing in this world which does not have good in it. Even humans who do evil, they have good in them. It's just suppressed. You know, that's why, when they go for counseling, they're able to tap into their good side, many of them. So what happens is that people do evil. People, through their choices, commit evil. But they are not evil in of themselves, right? So that every human has the fitra in them, which is the natural inclination to do good. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this world and given us choices. Some have chosen to do good, others have chosen to do evil. And those things in this world, outside the control of humans, which we seem to think are evil, are in reality good for us. Sometimes things happen in this world which, you know, we say, why did this happen to me? And we give the example, your car might have broken down. Why me? But when your car broke down, what happened? You got saved from being hijacked. You got saved from an accident. It was good for you. You know, you wanted to be married at a young age. It never happened. Why? Maybe you're meant to meet someone better when you were older. Maybe you're not ready yet. You wanted to have children at a certain age. But Allah willed it not to happen. So Allah knows what is best for us. So let us take this as our lesson for today. That from now on, inshallah, we will put our tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will have peace of mind. We will accept Allah's fate. We accept whatever happens in this world happens for what is best. We will work our best to be good Muslims. And inshallah, every morning and every evening, we will seek protection in Allah from the evil in this world. We will recite Surah Falaq and Surah Nas 3 times each, every morning and evening, blow into our hands and wipe it over ourselves and over our children for protection. This is something which was prescribed to us by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it is something we should do. So with that, inshallah, I will conclude over here for today, and we will continue with the tafsir of the remaining 3 verses of Surah Falaq next week. Jazakallah khairan wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.